Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby. Here we go on a Thursday. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Welcome to the Bleep Show. Good to have you. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, on the other side of the metaphorical glass. This beautiful Upstate Thursday morning. Ready to rock and roll this AM. 4 hours of the most electrifying sports talk entertainment you'll find anywhere, getting underway right this very second. And of course, it's a Turn the Page Thursday, a day where we start looking ahead to the sports weekend upcoming. And it is one of the better sports weekends upcoming that we've had on the docket for some time. We've got LSU Ole Miss. We've got Alabama Georgia. We've got Illinois, USC, South Carolina, Kentucky, obviously Clemson on the bye week. And on the show today, I would like to, for both of these teams, I would like to put you in the programming director's chair for just a minute. For both of these games, I'd like to put you in the athletic director's chair for just a second. What's this weekend mean, and what does it look like? And by that, I mean, if you're Clemson, and I give you the opportunity this beautiful Thursday morning to head into that locker room, to have a conversation with Dabo Sweeney, to have a conversation with the Clemson Tiger football team, if I give you the opportunity to be in charge of the messaging to the boys, what are you saying right now? You know, I've heard in spots other shows where they've said, oh, you know, call in and give your best motivational speech to the team. Call in and say what you would say if you were in the locker room right now. And I'm not going to call in and ask you to be a voice actor. I'm not going to ask you to call in and try to win an Emmy. But I am going to ask you, what is your message to this football team this weekend? I'm going to give you mine later on in the show. I'm going to ask the same thing of the South Carolina Gamecocks. If I said to you that you get to go into the locker room Saturday as the Gamecocks are getting ready to head out onto the pitch to take on the Kentucky Wildcats, what would you say? What would your message be to that team? See, I got to tell you, I think there are times and places. I think that there are times and places where you kind of got to be a little bit negative, man. Like, you kind of got to point out what reality is. I mean, I'm not really super fired up after that, but yeah, I guess to some degree. No, I think there is absolutely a time and a place for a get your ass in gear. That clip is funny because of a thought that I had yesterday. No, see, that's about the wrong team. Here's the take.
What? Also, that's signature to a team. Okay.
All right. No. The game over, man, game over take Because while I do think it is game over, man, game over for the Clemson Tigers, I have another take, and it is this. If the South Carolina Gamecocks lose to the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend, if the South Carolina Gamecocks lose to the Kentucky Wildcats, you will not be bowl eligible. If the South Carolina Gamecocks drop this game against the Kentucky Wildcats, your playoff options are already shot. I do not see a path from this point forward for your football team to the 2025 college football playoffs. If you lose to Kentucky this weekend, a not good football team, and there's a variety of reasons that that could happen. I do not predict it. I don't think it is going to happen. But if you lose to the Wildcats this weekend, forget missing out on the college football playoffs. If you lose to the Wildcats this weekend, at that point, while I understand many of you are hinging right now on, well, Rob Brown, we started slow last year as well. We started slow last year, and then we made a run, and we ended up getting to 9-3. And while it maybe didn't end the way that we wanted it to, we still had a pretty good run. And, I mean, effectively were the first team left out of the playoffs. And great, great. But that's 2024. That's not 2025. There is another primary difference to that. And it is how your schedule stacked up last year versus this year. Your slow start out of the gate was 3-3. Old Dominion, slow game. You got it going against Kentucky. You had the LSU loss, which I think got ripped away from you. You turned around and you took it out on Akron. Then you dropped back-to-back games against Ole Miss and Alabama. But what about the back six games of the schedule? You had an Oklahoma team that at the time was asking the question, should we fire Brent Venables? Is it already time to say that this didn't work out? You had the 44-20 win over Texas A&M, which was very much a good win, as Texas A&M was ranked inside the top 10 in the nation at that point. But this was also a Texas A&M team that did not even really, even as a top 10 team, didn't really have their identity under Mike Elko established yet. They do this year. Then you beat Vanderbilt, and again, Vanderbilt had the win over Alabama. That was a good win over Diego Pavia, Clark Lee, and the boys, especially when people were kind of feeling the doors a little bit. But, as Lonzo has said many times, it's still Vanderbilt. You got Mizzou, 34-30. You got Wofford, and then, of course, you went on the road. You went to Death Valley, and you knocked off the Clemson Tigers, who were number 12 in the country at that point. It's a good run, but it is not what the back half of the schedule is this year. It's just not. You got Kentucky, then you're on the road at a top four LSU and a team that a lot of, I'm not one of them, I think they're overrated, but a lot of people believe are now a justified national championship contender. Then it's Oklahoma with Brent Venables, who is being discussed right now as the SEC coach of the year, and we're in week four. Then you've got Alabama, who, yes, has the loss to Florida State, though, and even though Florida State hasn't played anybody since then, is looking more and more like a, okay, maybe we get it kind of loss, but also has been dumping 50s and 60s on people since then. Then you've got Ole Miss, which we'll learn a lot about Ole Miss this weekend, but here's this cat getting the starting nod from the running Rebels named Trinidad Chambliss, who last week went for 300 through the air, over 100 on the ground. I think it was 5 total touchdowns accounted for. Like, all of a sudden, they found themselves a dude who, and yes, it's early, and it's a small sample size, but this dude is doing what everybody thought Lenora Sellers was going to do through the air and on the ground. Like, he is right now, through the last all of the one game. It is one game. There wasn't a lot of tape on him. We'll see if he's able to replicate that feat this week against LSU. But he looked more like Lenora Sellers than Lenora Sellers did this past
weekend.
Disappointed.
I thought Trinidad Chambliss would be dressed up like William Regal or something. With that name.
It's a great name. It's a fantastic name. Then you've got Texas A&M on the road at the compound, down there taking on the Colt, who have their identity now. And not only do they have their identity now, but Marcel Reed now finds himself inside of the shortest, I think, five or six odds getters for the Heisman Trophy, Coastal, and then against the real in Clemson. So if you drop this game to Kentucky, and that puts you in a spot where you were going into that run with two wins, I will need four wins out of LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Coastal, and Clemson. And I'm going to keep it a buck with you. A team that loses to Vandy, Mizzou, and Kentucky is not rolling through LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, A&M, Coastal, and Clemson and getting four wins. It's not happening. It'll be a stretch to roll through that and get three wins to be bowl eligible. You are not getting four. So this is going to be very dramatic, but I'm also going to stand on it being accurate. South Carolina fans, you will know by Saturday night if this is or is not going to go down. Scratch that. You will know if this is. You won't know if it will not because there's a lot of football left. But you will know by the time you lay down your sweet little head on Saturday night if this is the most disappointing season in South Carolina Gamecock football. I don't think that's a stretch. I do not think that there has been a point.
It won't be the most disappointing ever.
How would it not?
Because they went winless one year.
Yeah, but
you can't get worse than that.
No, I didn't say worse. I said more disappointing. I don't think there were.
It was pretty disappointing in the winless year. I'm just saying.
I could be wrong here.
I was here for that. It was not.
Sure.
Was not pleasant.
But did you enter that year with, hey, guys, 1-2 bounces of the ball the right way? We could be in the championship hunt.
No, but you enter that year thinking you're going to win at least a couple of games.
Okay, cool. So you went from, we expected to win a couple to we didn't win any, versus we have expectations of playing for the national championship, and now I'm telling you, you lose to Kentucky, you're not going bowling. Not high-level bowl, not New Year's Six bowl, not Jan 1 bowl, bowling. You're not going to the Poinsettia Bowl. You're not going to the Holiday Bowl if you lose this weekend.
I don't think, is Poinsettia still, I think it might be.
Yeah, it's got a title sponsor now.
Because of all the flowers.
Yeah, it's like
all those people growing flowers every year. There's a couple bowls they have to be able, that and the Rose Bowl, they got to be allowed to do stuff.
It's like the Laffy Taffy Poinsettia Bowl or something. I don't know
love
who
Laffy
the sponsor
Taffy.
Is.
I haven't had that in forever. I refuse to be that negative. I think they got a shot to do better than what you say.
If they lose to Kentucky and they have L's against...
Yeah, they got their butts whipped by Vandy. And I think Vandy is a lot better than people are giving them credit for. We'll see when they...
Who are you? Me?
Anyway, I watched them play and they look pretty good.
They're damn good.
So I think it would be awesome if South Carolina can't win the SEC to watch Vandy do it. And right now they're undefeated, and it's a possibility. And you can go, no, they got to play this team and this team and this. Yeah, they do. And we'll see what they do. Same with South Carolina. They got to play all these teams. Could they lose the rest of them? Yes. But they could also, although this is hard probably for you to fathom, they could win out.
No, they can't.
Yep, absolutely,
no,
they could.
No, they can't.
Why play then?
I don't think
why play then? If there are people with that attitude on that team or any team, period. Oh, we just can't. We can't win. I just stopped. Why are we even out
here?
Well,
it's a good thing I'm not on that team then, is it?
I don't.
It's a real good thing I'm not on that team because then I would be a real piece of crap.
You'd be dropping
but
balls.
But I'm not on that team.
And they would put you on the bench and go,
no,
man,
son,
why can you not hang on to the ball?
I got hands, baby. I got hands. A team with the three losses that you will have should you lose this game this weekend is not a team I think is running through that gauntlet down the stretch and doing so with four wins. It would require an in-season turnaround that I don't think we have seen anything like in years gone by. It would require an in-season turnaround and improvement that I would have to ask, what do you see, what have you seen so far that would make you go, that runs in that team? If you lose to a bad Kentucky team on the road, What would you say on tape you can point at and go, they are this one thing because that got better and this is going to elevate them to where they can go on a run? Because I've got nothing.
Well, Lenore Sellers fully recovers from the concussion. The play callers realize that they have to try to run the ball and do it successfully. And the defense remembers how to tackle.
I'm good with all that. We're 4 weeks deep in the season.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a while to get going. And sometimes you believe your hype and you get smacked in the mouth and go, okay, we really have to work for this. You get back to the grind, you get in there, you put in your work, and you work for it.
Cool. I hope that that's what happens. Let's be very clear. What I did not say was, you will lose to Kentucky. That's not what I said. What I said was, if you lose to Kentucky, I very much hope, if for no other reason, aside from I'd love for you guys to make a deep run, I'd love for you guys to at least be in a prestigious bowl for my sake, for my job's sake. But the real answer is, I hope you guys don't stink up the field and lose to Kentucky because my wife will be intolerable on Saturday if you lose to Kentucky. Even she knows. If we lose to Kentucky, she's called the shot. We lose to Kentucky, I'm done.
I'm glad she can't hear the way you said, even she knows. And that's, I mean, you know, that's a
Yeah, client. I shouldn't have said you should no. What I intended to say was, even she has said,
if we
lose to Kentucky, I'm done. Which I get. I understand it.
You mean as a diehard fan, she's done.
Yeah,
I think. It has nothing to do with knowledge or anything.
No, she will be done with this year's football team. Like, that'd be it. So, I did not say you.
How many people, when they say they're done, still watch?
Judging by the NFL and NBA ratings, all of them.
Right. I'm done with my team.
You've
been done with your team for a while, but you still watch. So
yeah, of course I do.
I mean, because it's your team.
Just let me be mad, okay? Want to be mad. It's kind of like, it took me a very long time, and every dude who's been married for any length of time is going to hit me with the duh, Rob. It took me a real long time to learn that when a lady comes to you and says, I have a problem, she is not asking you to fix it. She just wants to be mad and vent and get it off her chest so that she can go back to her real life. Took me a long time to figure out that when the lady comes to me and goes, you will never believe that this person did that or that person, this happened, whatever. She doesn't want me to drop everything I'm doing and going, all right, I got a solution. Let's do this. Here's how we fix this. She just wants you to sit back and go, oh, babe, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. That must be frustrating. Oh, that girl, what up? That's what she wants, not to fix it. Sometimes I just want to be mad. All right, just let me get it off my chest. And unfortunately, you all play the role of my non-consenting therapist sometimes. I am not saying that South Carolina will lose to Kentucky this weekend. In fact, quite the opposite. I think you'll win this game this weekend. However, what I will say is there's about six things on the docket for this weekend that I'll be paying attention to. And if those six things don't change during this game against Kentucky, a game that is critically important because, as I have mentioned, if you lose this game, forget the playoffs, you will not be bowl eligible. About six things I'm looking and paying attention to see change. And if they don't change, I think the offseason is going to come with some very, very difficult conversations. We'll talk more about that later on. Clemson fans, South Carolina fans, you're in charge of the locker room. You get to walk in on Saturday, whether you're on the bye week or at Kentucky. You get to walk in this weekend. You get to deliver a message to the team. What is it? 844-326-3663. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. Back after this on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Jersey Joe joined us on our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on Twitter and YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. We broadcast all 4 hours of the show live each and every day. Come on in, hang out with us, and watch the show. It's the best way to listen to the show. We also stay on the air for, or on the stream for most of, not all, but most of the breaks. We have conversations with you off the air. Sometimes it makes it on, sometimes it doesn't. I asked the question this morning of you early risers, you 6 a.m.ers. If you got an opportunity on Saturday to stand in front of your school's locker room, whether you are a Gamecock or a Tiger, if you got the chance to stand in front of your locker room on Saturday and deliver a message to the football team, what would that message be? I'm not asking you. I mean, you're welcome to call in and act it out if you would like to. But what's the message? What's the tone? What's the words? What's the message you would deliver? Jersey Joe just got in on the live stream. And he said, no comment on Clemson or South Carolina. These kids nowadays have the world of things handed to them. And now that they're getting paid, don't get me started. I have a totally different outlook on college football nowadays compared to 40 plus years ago when I was at the college level. Joe, I'm gonna say first and foremost, love you, buddy. Glad you're here. Now, let me respond to your thought there. Every generation has a problem with the next generation. Every generation thinks the next generation is soft. Every generation thinks the next generation has it too easy. Every generation thinks the next generation does dumb things. Yesterday, I had one of those moments, one of those I'm 40 now moments, because I was scrolling around YouTube. And I hung my 75, I hung it on the wall finally, I mounted my 75 inch, and just, you know, taking it for a test drive to make sure I had the right viewing angle and all that, I had YouTube on. And, you know, I'm a YouTube shorts guy. And I came across one, I don't know how it ended up in the old algorithm, but I came across one that was like a pop culture outlet. I'm sure it was connected to the fact that I was watching a bunch of trailers for different movies and whatnot. And this lady doing the report was like, well, person X has just started an online beef with person Y because they said that. And then it just sounded like they were speaking some Latin, like weird Latin I'd never heard of before, right? Like they were saying names and using words that I just went, the hell are you talking about? I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know what those words mean. And I had one of those moments where I went, God, the next generation sucks, dude. Like, it sucks. If we had beef, you didn't go on Twitter. You went to their house and you knocked on the door and said, hey, you son of a you-know-what. The point is, I think that they handle their beef in a very dumb way, but they don't. They don't. That's how they handle it nowadays. Okay, fine, whatever. The whole mentality, the whole thought of these kids are getting paid now and they're all SAWFT soft. Here's my question. Are you looking at college football? You're telling me there's not one team that you think has heart? Not one team. You don't think the Oregon Ducks have heart right now? You don't think Ohio State has heart right now? You don't think Georgia's out there cracking skulls? You don't think Alabama took that L in week number one and has responded to it?
I'm not saying Joe thinks this way, but there are a lot of people who believe that these players never got paid. And those people are in a place where I probably would like to go there some because they get paid. They got paid on every level, by boosters, by other things, witnesses myself, even at Division III, you got paid. When a dude's driving around a brand new Corvette and stuff like that, and from a dealership and all these kind of things. Listen, they were already getting paid. Just now we can see it.
I don't disagree, though. Obviously, it's not at the level that it is now. At least not for the. It is still set up as it was back then, where it was $500 handshakes, but they only went to the stars. Now the stars are getting millions of dollars, and everybody else gets $500 handshakes. I found a clip yesterday that, and again, I don't mean to call out, but at the same time, I'm going to point out when pointing out is necessary. I came across a clip from earlier this week when Cade Klubnik was talking to the media. And he didn't say, like, I'm against NIL or whatever. But he was like, yeah, like, NIL, once the season starts, it doesn't factor to me. It doesn't make a difference. It's this, that, and the other. And I'm like, respectfully, I don't really care about the opinion on NIL of a dude who's making $3.4 million this year in NIL. That's his on-three valuation. It's $3.4 million.
Good for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm happy for him. Let's be real clear. My stance on his commentary on NIL doesn't take away that, hell yeah, buddy, get the bag. Like, yeah, I get it. I understand it. What I am saying is that I don't think, Joe, that is the reason that Clemson is where it is. And I'm not saying it never is. I'll tell you right now, and I've floated this theory a few times. I think Florida State, that is part of the reason that they were there. I think Florida State went 2-10 last year because after they went 13-0 and won the ACC title, and they started gearing up to try to go back-to-back to the playoffs. Well, not to the playoffs because they didn't go to the playoffs, but you get the point. They ended up going heavy in the transfer portal again. And I think it became very evident as the year went on, after, 3 weeks, when it became very obvious that Florida State's not a playoff team this year. I think there are a lot of guys in that locker room who started playing for me. They started playing for draft positioning. They started playing for NIL. They started playing for this. They started playing for that. I think that is very true. But to just assume that that is always why a team is underperforming, I don't think is fair. And I say that because there are a lot of very good football teams out there. Again, go watch, and they haven't played a high-level team. They will this weekend on the road at Penn State. But go watch any of the three games the Oregon Ducks have played so far, and tell me that's not a team that's playing with some guts. That's a team that got told before the year started, you've got to replace your quarterback, you've got to replace half your wide receiver room, we question your offensive line. You're not the same team. You're not them anymore. And here come the Ducks hanging 60s and 70s against people they're supposed to hang 60s and 70s against. If they go into Penn State and get a win this weekend over a team that a lot of people, myself included, have bought into being different this year. Big Game James will finally get it done this year. We'll see. If Oregon goes in there and gets this dub, I don't think any of us would be in a position where we question the heart of the Ducks. And if there is even one team out there who plays with gusto, who plays with heart, then that narrative doesn't work anymore. I'm not saying there are zero teams out there that have lost the spirit of the game or the love of the game over money. I'm sure that there are. Again, I think Florida State last year is the example of that. I'm saying to run to the conclusion now, 4 weeks into the season, that is obviously why the wheels have come off. Not fair. I don't think that's fair. I don't. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. If I got the chance to walk into Clemson's locker room this weekend, I'll tell you exactly what I would say. And I'm looking for you as well. If you got a chance to talk to the Clemson Tigers or the South Carolina Gamecocks this Saturday morning, whether it is on their film and practice Saturday on the bye week, or it's as they're getting dressed to get ready to go play the Wildcats of Kentucky, what would you say? I'll start with Clemson. Here's what I'll say. Fellas, you got too much talent for this. You've got too much talent in this locker room. You've got too much talent as individuals. You've got too much talent as a team to be where you are. And I'll tell you where we sit right now. We sit in a spot where you have just been outworked. Now, I think you've been outcoached, and that's on me. I'm going to get that fixed. We are going to have, as coaches, a long come to football Jesus meeting in the next day or two. And we are going to go over every single snap of the football from our 1-3 four games so far. And I will promise you that coming up this Saturday, the play calling is going to be better. We will be taking better advantage of where we are. But we could have the greatest play calling of all time. We could call an absolute perfect game for you. If you guys are going to take to that field on Saturday, defensive line, if you are going to get pushed around by Syracuse, offensive line, if you are going to make Cade Klubnik run for his life, Cade, if you're going to freak out every time there's a little bit of pressure on you, we might as well just cancel the season. Because the one thing that I would expect, bad coaching, bad play calling, better opponents, worst opponents. The one thing I would never expect out of a Clemson Tiger football team is that we come out here, we look panicked, and we get pushed around as a response. And that's what happened to y'all in those three games. You look panicked, you got pushed around. So either stand up for your damn selves and show people that you are a bunch of badass D1 Clemson Tiger football players, or let me know that you're not going to do that, and I'll go ahead and start working the young guys in. Let me know that you're not going to go out there and stand up for yourselves, and I'll start playing the freshmen so that maybe 2 years from now, we don't suck like you do right now. Let's take a break. Your thoughts are welcome. What's your message to the team on the bye week, on the Kentucky week? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
During the break, I was thinking a little bit more about if given the opportunity to stand in front of these two football teams on Saturday, Clemson, as they enjoyed their Saturday off, a little rest, a little refocus, South Carolina getting set to take on Kentucky, a game that I opened the show by saying, Gamecocks, steel yourselves, because if you lose this game, you're not going bowling. You are going from sneak into the playoffs as our goal to we want to be bowl eligible. You won't be. This has to be a win to go bowling. I thought, what would I say if given the opportunity to talk to South Carolina? And it led me to a question that I would like to ask you guys, because I saw a conversation that over the past 2 or 3 days has really started to take shape in the sports world. Let me pull back the curtain on my industry just a little bit. As somebody who listens to and hears opinions from a lot of different places every day, I have come to one recognition about the industry that I am in, an industry that I love very much. And it is this. There are really a slim number of generators of original thoughts in this industry. Now, when I say original thoughts, I'm not talking about the hot take artist who just take whatever is the popular conversation at the moment, and then spin it, come at it from the other angle for the sake of getting clicks. I'm talking about people who say things about sports that are genuinely thought-provoking. Things that you go, oh, I haven't considered that, or I need to go look at that, or I need to go check that out. But there's a conversation that is starting to spin up right now. And I know that it is because one or two people had the idea, and there was a recognizable pushback to the thought. And now there's a bunch of hot take artists who realize, oh, that argument's getting pushback, so let me amplify it for the sake of getting a reaction. I got to tell you, I heard this argument, and the fact that I was willing to hear it out and consider it kind of confused me a little bit. Like, I was confused that I heard this argument for the first time 2 days ago. I did not bring it up yesterday because my gut reaction was, I think this might be a little hot takey. And I would like to spend some time really thinking about if this has any merit to it at all before I propose it as a question to Clemson fans. But last night, got done doing some show prep, jumped on the old Xbox, was playing a little Baldur's Gate 3 with the fellas, and we were talking football while we were also running around killing a bunch of orcs and whatnot because we're adults. Shut up. And one of my buddies, who is a Clemson fan, we were having this conversation, he brought it up, and that inspired me to go ahead and bring it up to you today. The thought that has been going around that I thought was a bit hot takey, and I thought a lot of people weren't running with it because they truly believed it, but were running with it because you Clemson fans reacted very strongly to it. And at the end of the day, my industry is not about bringing you great analysis, insight, and opinion. It's about getting you to react. React to me. Pay attention to me. That's our job. I'm going to ask the question. The thought that is going around right now is, maybe Dabo Swinney's not really a good coach. Maybe Dabo Swinney was a guy who got very fortunate in that he was able to pair up two excellent coordinators in Tony Elliott and Brent Venables for a number of years. Remember, when those two guys got hired, Venables to Oklahoma, Tony Elliott to Virginia in the same offseason, a lot of Clemson fans have marked that that was the time that something changed. And on top of that, not only did they get hired, and a lot of Clemson fans I have spoken to said that's around the time the program changed, but at the same time, when those guys got hired, I was already here. I remember the conversation going around of, it is shocking it took this long. It is shocking it took that long for Brent Venables to get a head coaching opportunity, unless he just did and didn't want them. It is shocking that long Tony Elliott took that long to get a head coaching opportunity, unless he just did but didn't want to take them. It is shocking that these guys took this long to get head coaching opportunities, and it is not shocking that they both took them at the institutions they took them at. And so the theory that has been floated around a little bit is, let's be clear, Dabo Swinney, great guy, great human being. Nobody's questioning the character, the integrity, the morals. Nobody's questioning Dabo Swinney. He is a great dude. We're all on the same page. But what I have seen is questions about, is Dabo Swinney really just not a good coach?
All right, so this has been around since the beginning of him starting to play coach football, that he's just good at hiring coordinators. He's a great hype man. He's good at recruiting, but he doesn't really do much on Saturdays. That's been a thing since he first got hired. It was especially loud when they weren't taking that next step early on in his coaching career. And then once they started winning a bunch and winning national championships, it quieted down. But it's been there for a really long time.
I know that that was a large part of the conversation when Dabo Swinney got hired in the first place. There are people going, like, can this guy coach? Right? Like, is he a good coach or not? And as we talked about way back on Monday.
I am curious, though. What is a head coach in college football? In your mind, what should they do? Are they the play caller? Are they a coordinator on one side or the other? Or are they just there to manage the other guys who they hired to run the offense or run the defense?
Well, I don't think you have to corner it down to it has to be done this way. I think Nick Saban.
I ask you how.
No,
you,
I know.
How you thought. Of
I'm
it.
Answering the question.
Okay. All right.
I don't think there is a right way to do it. I think that there are a lot of different ways that it can be done and be successful. Nick Saban had a very specific way of achieving success as a college football head coach, and Pete Carroll had a way of being a very successful head coach. Those two guys have nothing in common. At all. Nothing in common at all. And the point is, I think when you look around, Ryan Day and Kirby Smart are different coaches. And they're different coaches than Kalen DeBoer, different coach from Mike Norvell. Different. Everybody has their own thing. And for some people it works, and for some people it doesn't. But what I would say is, there is one thing that is true across the head coaching universe of college football. At the end of the day, when there is an issue with the program, it is on one guy to get it fixed. There's one guy that's responsible for that, and it is the HC. And he can go about it however he wants to go about it. And my response is, what is a head coach supposed to do? A head coach is supposed to run the football program in a way that we aren't talking about what is the head coach supposed to do. That's what he's supposed to do. And so for a guy like Nick, Nick Saban was a dude who beat you on the recruiting trail. And Nick Saban was a guy who beat you by having the most disciplined football team on any given football field on any given Saturday. I don't think, I've said this 1,000 times to you guys, Nick Saban was not a great game day coach. I very much view Nick Saban as very similar in coaching style to Dabo Swinney. I don't think Dabo Swinney is a great Saturday X's and O's college football coach. I don't think he's a guy that looks on the football field on a Saturday, identifies problems within the game, and tinkers to make the changes. I think he leans on coordinators for that. But the reason that Dabo has always been able to be successful is not only having people in those roles who are good at doing that, but also beating you on the recruiting trail for a number of years. And if you are a coach, let's be real clear. If you are a coach whose play style is, I'm going to beat you on the recruiting trail, you can still do that, but it's hard as hell now, man. Like, it's hard to do now. And so if that is your number one weapon, is we're just going to out-recruit you, I would say two things. Number one, that's tough, and it's tougher than it's ever been before. And the second thing I would say is obviously because of the portal and ability for players to transfer out. But I would also say, I do not think, and this is where I know a lot of you guys are getting exhausted by the portal conversation, but it is part of college football for everybody. It just happens to be we're talking about Dabo Swinney. If you are going to say we're a team that's going to beat you on the recruiting trail and we're going to have a bunch of guys that are all in and want to play their hearts out for the university, to exclude guys in the portal to fill in holes on the roster, you're going to get in trouble for that. So now that you are where you are and things are, listen, it's not that you're not undefeated. I think if we were talking about a 3-1 team that was behind the eight ball with a loss to Tech, or a hell, maybe even a 2-2 team, if you know you had the loss to LSU and maybe you lose to Tech and you're sitting at 2-2 right now, then this conversation probably isn't as dramatic. But it's kind of like in the press conference earlier this week when Dabo said, why are we held to a different standard than all these other teams that haven't won anything? That's why, Dabo, because you've won a thing. In fact, you've won a bunch of things. And so the expectation has been raised by you. The standard has been raised by you. That's why people are questioning. So With all of that being said, I heard the take the other day from somebody on TV. Well, it's from TV, but it made it to my social media. It doesn't matter. I heard the take the other day by somebody on TV who said, I am glad to see what is happening at Clemson because I think it is finally brought to light the fact that Dabo Swinney is not a good football coach. He's a good recruiter. He's a good motivator. He's a great hype man. If you need somebody to make you feel like you can take over the world, Dabo's the guy you want on the other end of the phone. But he's not a good football coach. And considering a lot of the problems that we have identified as problems through a 1-3 start first time since 2014, considering a lot of the problems that we have identified as problems so far through this season, I can directly tie back to coaching. Is it fair for those people to have that theory? Is it fair for them to have the theory that maybe he's not a great coach? Maybe he was just a hell of a recruiter, and now that that is more difficult to do than ever before, and now that he lost two elite coordinators in Elliott and Venables, it's all going downhill. All right, we'll talk more about that later on in the show. We got some NFL talk coming up. We start our weekend preview, all that and more after Lonzo gives you, if we had a sports flash playoffs, Lonzo's the one seed every year.
Definitely getting the bye. The Atlanta Braves win streak ends at 10 with a 4-3 loss to the Nationals. That was you'll understand. You will understand why later. Okay, you'll understand why later. Leave. Their win streak ends with a 4-3 loss to the Nationals yesterday. Atlanta had six hits, including home runs from Marcell Ozuna, Eli White, and Drake Baldwin, but went 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The Philadelphia Phillies locked up a first-round bye with an 11-1 win over the Marlins last night. The 93rd win of the season ensures the Phillies open at home in the divisional series, which starts October 4th. Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald highlight the NFL's Hall of Fame class of 2026 nominees. 11 other players, including Philip Rivers, Alex Smith, Greg Olson, Jason Witten, Frank Gore, and LeSean McCoy, were announced in their first year of eligibility. Our number two and the water cooler cheat sheet up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.